Welcome to the base operation. It's your boy RJ. You with Ashley King, Queen Kwan. The name of the topic is Don't Be Fooled. Don't be fooled, man. It's, you know, it's perfect. It's April. You know, we got this daggone April Fool's Day going, you know, which I'm not too fond of. You know, my origin is the truth. You know, I like to, you know, take the truth. But for today's topic, you know, we will be talking about mind control, manipulation, you know, the psychological military tactics that was created, the systems, the indoctrination, you know, all those sort of things that, you know, influence history, culture, throughout history. I'm going to just give y'all some definitions for the word indoctrination. You know, indoctrination is the process of teaching a person or group to accept a set of beliefs or critical. That is the process of teaching a person or group to accept a belief uncritically. And I'm saying this because indoctrination is something that was used in our country and in the United States. We're all aware of that. When, you know, once upon a time they took somebody from their roots, brought them over here, and fed them a whole bunch of BS, you know, in order for it to work in their favor at the end of it all. And creating these systems, which are systems of indoctrination, such as the jail system or the school system or whatever other system that we have in this country that is meant to indoctrinate and to, convert the individual into whatever they believe the individual should believe in, you know.
Yeah.
And your birth certificate is sort of like, you know, your contract to this process, basically, you know.
And when you talk about the birth certificate, you know, there has been a lot of education on that as well. In recent days or weeks, I've actually been seeing a lot more articles. There's been a couple of groups on social media that have been established that is educating people on the birth certificate, the social security number, and how our birth certificates are actually traded. And they are saying that, you know, there's bonds with our birth certificate. You know, that birth certificate has a bond attached to it. And each person, when they're born, you know, it accrues interest. And they, during the millennial ages, like, they put in, like, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 in that bond for stocks. And over time, it has grown, you know, and it hits maturity. I think around the age of 30, when we turn 30, that account matures. And there's been people saying that they have turned their birth certificates in, you know, spelled it back to the government. Was like, I don't, you know, I was born, and this is what my parents did. I wasn't born into this. This wasn't my choice. And I think that's the other problem. You know, we are born into this foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we're born, we didn't ask for all of this. I mean, nobody just came out of the womb and was like, hey, sign me up for a birth certificate. You know what I'm saying? It's really the parents, but if the parents are uneducated and don't know about what's going on, then in turn, it trickles down to the child. So now the child is having to do this stuff.
Right, and figure it out themselves. And that's something, you know, which causes, how can I say it, certain mistrust almost, in a sense, over, you know, disconnectivity between the parent and the child's relationship. Because the parent can be saying one thing, you know, and the child is doing research and, you know, looking into different information that's opening up their, you know, understanding or clearing up their understanding to what's really true. And, you know, being that the parent is always right and sometimes don't want to hear the child out, you know, it can cause, you know, conflict and also a certain disconnection. So, you know, the parents finding a certain understanding and updating their point of view, I think, is important. You know, in order to share or relate to their child and what they believe in, you know.
Because it has been, this is the reality, you know. And like you said, this whole topic don't be cool, you know, makes sense what we're going right now. And it's been a whole couple of generations, not just one generation, that has been fooled for many years. And one of them is the fact that they think, oh, because I have a certain position, or I'm the parent, or I have the title as the governor, or a pastor, or, you know, the educator, I went to college, I got my PhD, I know it all. You know, that's just what has been ingrained in all of us. That's what we accept as truth, you know, and that's what we know to do. We lean more towards that, and that's hindering, because if the only way you're going to acknowledge something as truth is because it comes from a certain type of person's mouth, that's a problem. You know, that's what the problem is, like you're saying. A lot of parents don't even want to acknowledge what their children are even saying because it's their child. So it's like, I'm the parent, I know I've been on this earth longer, but if you've been on this earth longer and you haven't questioned any of this stuff and everything, you have the problem, not me.
Right.
This makes no sense.
And this has a name to it. It's called a cognitive dissonance. I'm going to give you our definition.
Go ahead.
Cognitive dissonance is the reason why people get upset when their beliefs are challenged. When beliefs are contradicted by new information, conflict occurs. It activates areas of the brain which involves with personal identity and emotional response to threats. When a person feels their identity being threatened, it causes them to shut down and disregard any rational evidence that contradicts what they previously regarded as truth. Meaning they're listening not with the intention to understand and to find a mutual understanding. No, they're listening with the intentions just to talk and, you know, protect their identity or whatever set of beliefs they, you know, manifested throughout their time growing up in order to justify their own understanding. You know, without having a proper understanding or without gathering the proper information in order to come up with a realistic conclusion on whatever the topic or subject may be. And, you know, this happens a lot. This happens a lot because sometimes we do walk around with a know-it-all attitude. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like they say, a wise man knows that he knows nothing. And this always leaves room for, you know, greater understanding or expansion of one's understanding or perspective, because there's always more to the piece of the puzzle. We live in a maze, you know what I'm saying?
That's funny because, you know, what you just said, I think you actually posted about this on social media the other day, and I just find that to be funny because people really get upset if it goes against what they keep believing or what they have been taught to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if me having uniform children, I'm real careful and mindful. I don't put something in them that I don't fully understand, don't have evidence for.
Sure.
And because I want them to be able to ask questions without feeling hindered or, oh, well, I can't ask this, but this is what it was told. Like, I hate that when I talk to a person and they say, well, this is what this is. And then I go, well, why is it that way? Well, that's just how it is. I don't know.
Right.
It makes no sense. You know, everything has an explanation for me. There are some things that we won't completely understand as far as like the universe and galaxy because we haven't reached that far out.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff like that, I mean, you can't fully explain. You can explain where the air comes from. I mean, you know, we understand, you know, where it comes from, or the importance of water, or why our heart is beating, like basic stuff like that. Like, there are answers for this stuff, but
right.
For some reason, we've been told a lot of fiction stories and been manipulated by it. And then it goes back into even now with the new generation coming up and everything being technical and everything. You know, everybody all on social media and your TV, which I know you brought up, how about it?
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God. We have to talk about the TV, y'all.
Because the media, TV is a major influence on a lot of things. And with this new generation, that's what they have been raised up on. You know, a lot of parents are working a lot, they're not home. So you have the children at home, or you have parents that when they are home, they're tired. And we talked about this, right? Something about this last week. They might be sleeping and just say, hey, go look at TV, or hey, go outside. And not really paying attention to the bigger picture, what it's called. But like, you know, a lot of kids now, they're 7 years old with cell phones. Like, what's the name? Cell phones and apps and all this, and access to the worldwide business. Like,
right.
Opening up your child to be exposed to everything. Like,
well,
the worldwide
the state of the world.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, so I don't know.
And the same state of the world is expressed through social media. You know
exactly.
They're being exposed by that. So, everything the world consists of will be inside, on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And see, the thing is, just to, you know, give y'all a better understanding of how, you know, our TV screens or all these screens, illuminated screens that we look into, our phones, laptops, tablets, all these things, specifically the TV as well, how it affects our brain, how it affects us as individuals. You know what I'm saying? To be more on the scientific, to explain it on the scientific aspect, the TV, it actually flickers. And any repeating light pattern can induce an altered state or like being hypnotized. The TV can literally hypnotize you, being that, you know, there's a repeating light pattern. And repetition of any message or symbols will be embedded in one's subconscious mind. And people will believe anything as truth without proper research or understanding, you know. And like I said, the subconscious mind is like a tape recorder, a constant tape recorder that's constantly programming every single thought, expression, action in your in your life, in your brain, and it constantly reminds you of habits, you know what I'm saying, and as ways of you expressing yourself, as memory, because your body is a memory, you know, it's memory itself, your cells, your DNA, every single thing, you know, remembers everything, every single thing in your body or everything that your body consists of, mind, body, and spirit consists of, remembers every little expression, thought, action, everything that you do in life. And yeah, and this is one of the greatest indoctrination tool that was created. The most technological indoctrination tool that's ever been created, which is the TV. Being that they can put you in this trance or they can feed your brain or your children's brain with whatever messages that they want them to. Like the cartoons, you know, with I'm not getting into that. Certain cartoons and Hollywood movies and video games, you know, like they have all these, you know, so many different systems of control and systems of different ways of, you know, programming or causing propaganda, you know, using social media, you know, and the TV, the news channels and the Hollywood movies, like Captain America Civil War, you know what I'm saying? Little things like that could feed an idea, you know, you can give somebody the idea of, you know, causing a civil war or whatever the case may be. But it's been like that. It's been like this for centuries, you know. It's all the time, like. But
keep going, RJ.
Yeah, so you know, our social media and our TV, we have to be very mindful for our children, because they can, you know, be naive towards it and believe it as truth without doing their proper research. And all this, you know, it comes from wanting control. That's the biggest thing, you know. Those that are all in the pyramid in capitalist society, they seek control. They're afraid that they may lose control of us all, being that we're the foundation of this capitalist society, this pyramid, and we're holding this thing up for them. The reason why they want to create us as their workers. They want to make us their workers in order to keep the system going and to keep this, you know, keep them alive, keep them rich, et cetera, you know. And it's very lopsided, but it's been like this for so long. You know what I'm saying?
Now, just to
kind of
piggyback on what RJ was saying, when with the media, you know, and television, and one of the things that television always do, they have a lot of people to feed based on they kind of target and pick on, I would say, Muslims. So, like, things, if something happens on the television and there's something dealing with fighting or stabbing or mass shooting, and you hear the name Muhammad or something like that, you automatically think it's a terrorist. But if you hear Jonathan or others, you don't think it could be a terrorist. So, that's how one of the ways, you know, the television kind of deceives everybody.
Oh, another great example, which I feel like, and this is a comment regarding towards number 45, you know. It's funny, I really truly believe if Obama would have, you know, as he was trying to become president, would have stood there on stage and said anything about grabbing somebody by the pussy, he would have never saw the inside of the White House to begin with.
He probably
would have
been in jail.
They probably would have found something. Way. You know what I'm saying? There's something to destroy his image. You know what I'm saying? And still, here goes Trump. He does it. It's okay. He's president now. You know what I'm saying? So it shows you the double standard to it all. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But it all makes sense. You know, it shows how the news media, the news, and how, you know, these different stations on TV is totally, you know, manipulating society, especially those naive individuals. And that's why I feel like, you know, Trump was able to win the way he was, because he had a great marketing scheme. He had a great scheme to you know, make the people believe in whatever he was saying, which is sort of insane. But one of their main objectives is to make the individual forget they have an imagination. They want to take away self-reliance. They want the individual to become more dependent on them, or dependent on the government, you know what I'm saying, versus on their own two feet. They want to remove their creativity, instill fear, and they want to remove self-teaching. They don't want you to go in there and do your research. That's why they label a lot of things as conspiracy, so it triggers, like it's false. So I don't believe that. We're already skeptical beings. And when you call some conspiracy, you already, you know, just dismiss it as it, you know, as it not being true without doing your proper research and coming up with your own understanding. And conspiracy, you know, that term was created by the CIA. You know, we all know the CIA is not the most righteous people in this world.
And Alexa
tells
us that.
And then Alexa, yeah.
Right, Alexa tells us that. If you guys have been on social media, you watch anything, you see, you know, the videos when people have those Alexa devices, and then they ask, you know, certain questions like, Alexa, are you connected to the CIA? And she completely shuts down. And here recently, it was an updated version. You know, she didn't shut all the way down. She said, no, I work for Amazon, right? So then she says, well, is Amazon connected to the CIA? She shuts down. You know what I'm saying? So that's a little itself.
That shows you right there that, you know, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes while we're being distracted. They like for us to be distracted. They would prefer for us to be distracted, you know. And now that we're in a time where we are in the information age, and a whole lot of people is consuming the information, formulating their own understanding, and, you know, just speaking the truth, exposing the liars, and, you know what I'm saying, these deceptive beings on this earth, it's putting pressure on them, you know, putting pressure on people on like Donald Trump. Reason why Donald Trump, he sort of confuses society, and that is another tactic that they use. This is military tactics, by the way. To confuse the opponent. You know what I'm saying? If you can confuse the masses, in a sense, with different point of views, different beliefs, that this will keep them disorganized. You know? That's why they divide and conquer. They cause disorganization by, you know, different systems to each level of society. And, you know, all this stuff is what's keeping us from, you know, moving on the way we need to do as a unit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not working in their favor. You know, they'd rather keep it as that because they believe in survival of the fittest. And since they're up top and they're billionaires, they do believe that they're better than society. They are the shepherd, and they should lead the sheep however they want to. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's the mentality that we're dealing with. And that's where this whole, you know, white supremacy, et cetera, comes from too. You know, they are, you know, they have, they're evil geniuses trying to take over the world. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, and then they also understand that we're beings of habits, you know, beings of habits. We formulate these habits, and you know, they use, you know, symbolism and a whole lot of different things, you know, in order to stimulate us. And that's why we have to be mindful, y'all. We have to be mindful, sincerely. Sincerely, I mean that definitely.
I'm sorry, y'all, but listen, we be rolling that cut here in the studio, and every time something is going on behind the scenes, you can tell sometimes RJ just be looking at me and Quan like, what are y'all doing? Why are y'all running around the studio? What is happening behind the scenes? What technical difficulties are we having? How can we fix it? Like, he just be looking, he flipping the pages in his book, and he's trying to... It's a bad echo. I know some of you guys, when y'all first was hearing, it's a bad echo on the mic. So we was behind the scenes trying to fix the mic. But RJ was just looking like, what is going on? Yeah, it's an echo for them. So it's cool. So we got rid of the echo. So, you know, we working it. We doing what we got to do. But But yeah, so it's just funny. You know, we gotta keep it real over here, because I think, you know, people listening to this, they're gonna want to know. Like other radios, this is why we aren't on a mainstream radio station, because we're gonna let y'all know and go through this process with us, so y'all can see the raw and uncut. Like it is what it is. But yeah, to piggyback off of what he was saying, yeah, because even though I'm running around, I'm listening. So. So piggyback off of what he's saying as far as number 45, because you know I don't like to call him by his name. So with number 45, what he's doing is what he's saying as far as a major military tactic, which is divide and conquer. And he's definitely causing a lot of confusion. Got a lot of people. He's feeding off people's fears and what they believe have always been. So you have the poor white trash, who are the white folks that are poor. And they are pretty much the same. They don't want to believe it. They still think they're above the black people, which I understand, because some of them are even more poor than some of the black folk. But he's feeding their ignorance, because they're ignorant. They're not educated, you know. And he says it, and he has said it. If he ever ran for a president, he would run with that party, because they have a bunch of ignorant people. And they're proving the fact of what it is. And right now, he's feeding off of that. And they're just running along with it, where you see a lot of people coming back out of nowhere with these KKK stuff, and it just makes no sense. You know, like, where have you been? You know what I'm saying? Where have the KKK been? Y'all haven't been doing a lot of foolishness for a while now, but now that you have someone in your corner that's antagonizing the situation, and you feel like they're going to back you, which is ignorant, because a lot of these laws that are being passed are affecting the poor. See, what people have to understand is these laws that he's doing and it's helping the elites, it don't help the poor, period. It don't matter what color you are. So for people to believe that, oh, my skin color is making a difference, these laws don't say white or black or Hispanic. They literally don't. If you can find one, let me know, because they don't say color. They don't talk about your religion. They don't talk about your color. It don't talk about your ethic. None of that. Only thing is sex, okay, as far as women against the men. So a lot of some of these laws he's passing is against women, you know, with the health and all that other stuff. So that's a whole different situation. That's gender. So he is upset with the gender. Okay, I get it, women. Okay, y'all going to be like, well, what about the laws he's passing for the women? But again, even for the feminine stuff, did it say a white woman can get an abortion versus a black woman? No, it doesn't say it. It just say woman can't get this or can't get that. Women healthcare is messed up. It don't say, oh, a Hispanic healthcare is messed up, an Arab healthcare is messed up, the black people healthcare is messed up. It don't say that. So the simple fact that people are that ignorant to believe that their race is better than another race and that the laws are pertaining to them and they all happy-go-lucky and excited about this stuff, you're ignorant. And that's what they're feeding off of. And this is that deception. You're being fooled. Like we said, you're literally being fooled, and you don't realize you're being fooled. And I know it's not a good feeling to find out that you're being ignorant. You know, that's not a good feeling to find out that you're wrong. I'm one of them people like y'all. Like, I didn't like to be wrong, all right? I used to be a person that always wanted to be right. And anytime somebody say something or argument came about and they give me some information, I used to be like, well, I'm sitting here battling back and forth and debating back and forth because I was trying to prove myself, you know, to be right because of the ego and pride. I didn't want to be wrong. But now I actually get excited when somebody's wrong because I want to know the truth. So if you can prove me wrong with proof and facts, I'm excited. You become my best friend. Oh, wait a second. Oh, you know, gave me proof. You know what I'm saying? And it gets me excited and aroused. I don't get angry and bitter and upset about it. But the issue I have is when you try to prove me wrong and you're ignorant. That's when the whole issue come about. Now I'm like laughing at you. Now, of course, my ego, you stroking my ego a little bit because I'm about to prove you wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, with facts, because you ain't got none. So, yeah, based off opinion. So that's where we are in a society right now. You know, because we are in an age of awakening, everybody should just humbly be willing to see stuff for what it is and stop holding on to stuff that isn't. You know, you holding on to baggage and anger and bunch of foolishness for no reason. We should be trying to get past that as a people, as a human race. It's really honestly not too deep about color. You know, they have made it about color on purpose. This has all been a systematic thing that they have done for centuries. This ain't just happened with slave time. This is before that. That's where slavery comes from. So all of that comes from something else greater, you know? And since we are awakening to that knowledge and understanding that, now we should be in a stage where we're like, okay, I'm not about to let you get me angry. let my energy go to that route on that level. You're not worth it for foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Not even to argue back and forth with people. You know, there's an incident. You know, I always got a story, right? Yeah, I know. It seems like every week, every topic, I had a story about. And it always leads from something on social media or something some idiot does, some fool does, I'm calling them, the fool does, because God looks after fools and children. So I'm going to allow you fools to just be fools and allow God to, you know, look after you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Y'all get on my nerve, okay? So I had this one situation just recently about me posting something, what I posted, and they try to prove me wrong, but in reality, they still look like an idiot. You know, they still like a fool, but you're not proving me wrong. You're actually proving me right, and based off of what I'm saying. We have too much trust and stuff. And the second a person says, oh, the government trying to spy on us, there are people out here that get defensive about it. Like, they work for the FBI themselves. Like, you're not in the White House. You don't have no ties to the FBI or CIA. Why would someone say, oh, I believe that this is a tracking device? Oh, no, it's not. You guys are working, operating in fear. There's a difference. And there's a thin line, though, between both. But there's a difference between wisdom and fear.
Yes.
There's a huge difference
yes.
between wisdom and fear.
Yes.
Now, you could be on a borderline where you could be operating more in fear more so than wisdom, but because you operate in wisdom, some people look at it as fear because you're not trying to do a certain thing. So, like, if I say I'm using wisdom to say I'm going to not use social media as much, I'm not location up there, I'm not going to tag the places I go, I'm not going to tag certain people on there, I'm going to be careful about how I post, what I post, where I post, make sure my settings does not have locations up there, period, make sure my settings are not on none of my social media accounts where they can tag where I posted that picture, at what time and what place and location on earth, right? So that could, to another ignorant person, they're going to say, oh, you're just scared. You're operating in fear, and God tells us not to operate in fear. Fear not, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, that's a scripture, right? We're going to preach today. I try not to put this in it, but it seems like every episode you got to bring it up because I said it before we filmed today. That's why they're laughing. I said, we're not going to talk about religion, but you can't help it because this is every. It's foolishness. So you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Ashley K, you operating in fear, and I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus, right? This is what people say.
Yep.
Now, I know RJ got something to say on this, but okay. You think it because I'm using wisdom.
Right.
I'm using wisdom to know that the CIA and the FBI and all of this is tracking this stuff. They're tracking us, taking tabs on us. Our privacy is long gone ever since the World Wide Web was developed, right? So when Trump opens his mouth, number 45 opens his mouth and say that the biggest security threat is the internet, he is right. To them, because it opens us up to everything. The same way it's opening our information to them, their information is being opened to us. So it's a double-edged sword. It's like they're using the internet against us, but we can honestly use the internet against them if we was wise enough to realize this. But we're so dang ignorant and so filled with the Holy Spirit that's just blocking and fogging our vision that we can't even see what's right dead in front of us. You sitting here telling me that that's fear. It is actually wisdom. I'm trying to teach you and educate you and bring you aware that these things that you have so much trust in, you should not have that much trust in. You should use caution. Doesn't say don't use it. Just use caution.
Just, I'm going to throw this in there just to, like, you know, it's like a interlude, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they say that power conceives nothing without demand. Power conceives nothing without demand. So what are they doing? They're demanding for the internet to be shut down, for certain alternative facts and shit to be shut down, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because power conceives nothing without demand. That's why they're demanding for people to take away certain laws, take away certain regulations, and do this and do that. You know? Why? Because it has to work in their favor. They have to keep control during this whole process, you know?
Oh yeah, you're right. It is. They need to have control over everything, and control, and that's where this being fooled comes from. We are fooled. Society has been fooled to believe that we are free. What is freedom? Like, I want everybody listening to this. I want you to seriously sit and think.
Whatever.
What is it, whatever their idea of freedom is
probably, I don't know, it ain't really what freedom is, because in their minds, we're free right now. America, if you think about the world for a second, let's just think world for a second. Other countries, what do they look at America as? They look at America as a free country. Like, this is free. And we're here. This is in bondage. So if you think this is freedom, I don't even want to imagine what bondage is over there. I hate to say it. Like, I don't even want to know what bondage is to Africans and why Africans are coming here. And we look at Africa like, oh, that's the motherland, it's be free. So there's something that's going on there that we don't know about. Because coming here, think about how many Nigerians. We have over about 3 million Nigerians or more, like I'm saying, in America. So we have a lot, we have millions. I'm just going to throw out numbers. Just say millions. Not get too precise before somebody try to fact check and be up here trying to talk fast and whatever. Millions of Nigerians that come here. Millions of Kenyans come here. Millions of Haitians that come here. Why? They get freedom here, but then when we Americans, African Americans, look back on the African land, and that's what we're studying, and that's what we have been studying, that's the whole point of Base Vibration Network, trying to get back to our roots. We're thinking our roots are in Africa, and we are just like in awe of Africa, but Africans try to come to America, and they're in America. Somewhere something is missing. Something is missing. Now, I honestly want to figure it out. Like, I want to go. And when I see pictures and videos, and I got some African friends, and I see their Facebook lives, I am a little upset because I'm not living like that. Like, they still living like they look like movies from back in the 1400s. They still got paved. They got rocky dirt roads still, and living in huts, and like, it still looks bad.
A lot of that is contributed by greed. Greed is what caused it. Be honest with you, that's why this whole the Rastafari movie came about, because they didn't want this whole capitalist money to come in their society and destroy what they already had, which they were comfortable with. And the problem is with those who believe in colonialism, et cetera, they want resources, so they try to find every single way to get these resources, and they do it by manipulating. That's one tactic as well. If you don't do it, then shit, we're gonna find a way to get it from you. So let's play the game smart. We're dealing with, like I said, really smart, intelligent people in these offices, you know what I'm saying? Talking about the White House and Congress, et cetera, et cetera. They go to different countries, they talk to some president who he's intelligent, but he's not on the level that United States is on, because United States, this is a bigger empire. They deal with a whole lot more, you know what I'm saying? So they go over there, they sell them some dream, be like, hey, we'll do this, they'll give them an offer, whatever. So like, for example, they see that their country's doing bad. They go over there, we're going to give you this a certain amount of money as a loan for you to, do this and do that. So time goes by, they sign papers. Now United States is helping them out. Over time, they accumulated so much interest that they created this debt that they can't pay back. So United States is like, okay, you can't pay this debt back. Okay, then pay us the resources. You belong to us now, basically. You know what I'm saying? Or if it's like on a level like President Bush, where it's a personal level, they're going to get personal. They're going to take the motherfucking resources. The reason why we found out peace and, eventually also try to democratize the Middle East, which to me is a psychological way of conquering their land. If you get the people in the Middle East to believe and agree with what you believe and agree, your system, the same way they did with the Bible back then, try to convince everybody that what we wrote, the story we wrote, and what we're teaching the people is, the one and the only way, that's exactly how they do it. So they want to, spread the system across the world, because if the world accepts it, then guess what? New World Order, the globalization. United States is the, the head now. We run the world. So world domination, that's what they want. That's what they feed off of. And this has been something that the pagans and, people with the Vatican Church and, all these crusades that they went on about resources. They want people's resources. That's why they went. That's why Africa, the name of Africa is the name of a Roman emperor, Africanus. I forgot his first name because it's still hard to pronounce, but it's Africanus. They went over there and shit, So and that's why the here on Earth are in the condition that they're in, and why, United States is, in some places is looked at as they are the terrorists. The United States is the terrorists. Over here, we call everybody else terrorists. world, we are the terrorists. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a dirty game. You know, dirty game.
And when we wake up and realize that what the game is happening and stop fighting each other and fight the ones, the powers that be, and come together and conquer that, it will be better. Because we're wasting our energy and we're only being distracted and being a fool by fighting each other. Reality. Like I told someone, you not trying to be funny, and not here they're going to take it as, oh, well, you saying it as if you're better than us or better than me. But if you are broke, broke in everything. I'm talking about broke-minded, broke spiritually, broke as money, just broke. You just poor, period, right?
Broken.
You're just broke. Like, there's no way around that. I have nothing against you or to even really have any, no conversation for you. I'm just going to be honest. I have nothing against you or no conversation for you. There's nothing for me to really gain from you because you're broken. Like, I'm not, what ego, what is it doing for me to have you go further broke than what you already are? Is that what, that's what I'm pretty much saying. Like, you're already as low as you could possibly get. You're broken in every aspect. What more can I do to that? Nothing. So therefore, the only thing I can do is try to uplift you and not be against you. And that is where we have to look at people. A person might have a nice fat bank account, but if they're spiritually broken and they consciously broken, they're still broken. I don't care how rich they are. Therefore, the only thing you can do, because you're rich in the spirit, you're rich in consciousness, and you're rich in knowledge, what can you do? Help that person. Don't look down on that person. But see, that's what we have to teach people. That's not necessarily a color thing. That's just you reading a person and seeing, yeah, you broke. You know what I'm saying? You just broke. And they're going to take offense to that. Their mind, being rich, has got to do just with money, but it has to do with the whole package. Being rich is a whole package. It ain't even just one thing, because I can be rich in the spirit, and then broke in my pockets, I still can't accomplish nothing.
Right.
But if I'm broke in the spirit and rich in my pockets, I'm accomplishing a little bit more, because that's what this world is based off of. But I ain't going to really accomplish as much as I can if I was rich in the spirit too. So to me, riches is both. A lot of people look at riches, and this comes from, I guess, just trying to be right. People have just said, well, it's good, like, kind of glorify being poor in a sense. That money isn't important, and that all I need is my spirit, man, and I'm a king and I'm a queen, but you broke. Like that, I think that comes from a rebellious mentality, because you don't have money. It sounds better for you to be like, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that, and you don't have no money. What did you accomplish it? What are you building? Because you can't really build anything on this earth right now, we can say, but maybe in the future that'll change. But right now on this earth, you can't really do nothing if you don't have no money. You know what I'm saying? And you, in the same way in the spiritual realm, you're not going to really connect with God if you're not spiritual. There's no way around that. You're not going to have your full purpose in life if you walk around here half dead, looking like The Walking Dead. By the way, The Walking Dead, final finale is tonight. Ah, the season finale is tonight. Okay, but anyway, I had to throw that in there. I know somebody like, here she go, giving free advertisement for The Walking Dead. But we had an episode about The Walking Dead. So, I definitely... So we know the number 8 is important. So today is our 8th episode. So that says a lot, you know, as far as what we're doing. So we're going strong, 2 months strong with base vibration and base vibe tribe. So kudos to that. Got to get that.
Woo!
That's a little plug. Look, that's a little commercial break. Look, that's like a little promo commercial break. But I felt like I needed to say that before we, you know, to kind of lighten up and make sure we put that out there before we continue. But yeah, definitely with this show, and this is going to be a 2-part show, by the way, because next week we're going to talk a little bit more about not being fooled, because then now you keep tapping into Easter and all these other holidays that's about to come up. And next week is right before, you're going to have
Easter?
Your second.
Did she say Easter?
Easter. I said, she said
I
feaster.
I call it feaster.
She called
that's
it feaster.
That's all they want to do is
she,
a feast.
Oh, she wanted,
all these holidays is all about feast.
We got time. But I want to definitely talk about, you know, the misconception of like the full moons, the new moons, because next Sunday is the Sunday before the next new moon. I mean, full moon. So the full moon is going to be on 11th. So next Sunday is right before that. So I definitely don't be fooled. Part 2. We want to talk about that. How is power in that? Because of energy, you know what I'm saying? And really get you to understand the power of the moon. And I think that's more of a spiritual astrology based topic. And a lot of people don't like it because it don't understand it, and scripture does talk against it. Now, I have a problem with scripture talking against it, because mostly what scripture backing is from astrology. Like, even from the story of Jesus, like the three kinsmen, how did they find him? From the North Star. So they use astrology to find him, but at the same time, he's telling us not to study astrology. So then how did the three kings understand astrology and find Jesus if they wasn't supposed to, if it was witchcraft or if it was bad? Then why was it that that was something good? Like, it just makes no sense. So it's kind of like, you know, I want you to know about it. Study too deep into it, because if you get too deep into it, then you're going to become a lot more powerful than what I really need you to be. And that's that controlling deception mechanism. But at the same time, where I think people messed up was that they were worshiping, full-blown worshiping these physical, like, stars and suns and moons. I don't believe in that, because, what are you worshiping? Doing for you anything, you need to get power from it, educate yourself on it, but I wouldn't bow down to the sun or bow down to the moon. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a bit much. I wouldn't call that my saving grace and all that other extra stuff. So I do agree with that part, making that, for people, because people, to be honest with you, that's what the Egyptians were doing. And this goes back to where the deception came from. I feel like, and this is probably going off topic, but really kind of sort of on topic, because the Egyptians understood the power in the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the galaxy and the universe and all that stuff, they worshipped it to a certain extent. And I feel like that's where the crumbling came from of the whole movement or the whole era of a time period that black people, of melanated beings, had ruling the world. Like, we were ruling the world, but we were worshiping the wrong stuff. To a certain extent, like, gave it too much power. When in reality, so the Europeans and all this other stuff came, and then that goes back into other stuff that we're going to talk about, like the Anunnaki. I don't want to get too deep into that. But it kind of starting to make sense to me that where the fall came from. Because I for a long time, I've been trying to figure out how at one time did Africans actually rule. Melanated folks was ruling the world. Like, what happened that they just automatically just stopped? Like, it just crashed and burned, and now they can't, they know we're not ruling anything now. we're not even running Africa. We don't even own the land in Africa. Like, it's crazy. So we got to really educate ourselves on that and find out where that fall happened. And I'm still educating myself on it too. That's why I'm not going to get too deep into it. But that alone is kind of sort of where I'm kind of leaning towards. The more I study is what they were doing, because I'm trying to figure out what was they doing that caused the fall to happen. And I think that has a lot to do with it, but again, it's still more studying that we need to do on that, and we'll definitely talk about that on another episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about another episode. So if y'all want to just know, do y'all studies on paganism and the monotheism, Christianity and paganism, and how the Vatican Church, et cetera, back in those times, how it got mixed up. Different views, the pagan point of view, the Christian point of view of Christ, et cetera, it got mixed up. Worshiping the sun on a Sunday, which was that Sunday was created by, the pagans, such as a lot of different things were created by the pagans, such as, our holidays, like Easter and, Christmas and all that good stuff. So if y'all want to do your homework on that, I would definitely, advise y'all to do that, because today's society is sort of a mixture of both. Today's society is a mixture of how the pagans did it and how the Christians do it, the evil and the good. See, think about the pagans, there's a statement that was made. They say that they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good, meaning they don't see good or bad. They just do what the fuck they want, period. They come on this earth and they do what the hell they want. They, they want to be, if they believe in survival of the fittest, if they're up there, they're going to feel like worship me, idolize me.
They don't feel like what they're doing is evil.
Exactly. That's why they led the Dark Ages, the Vatican in the Dark Ages, when they, started killing millions of people and who are Christian, millions of Christian, or Puritans, what they called them. But I'm not going to get into this. This is a whole nother subject. Y'all got to study, because.
But that makes sense and believable.
Yeah. It's another way of manipulating. That's how the pagans wanted to manipulate society. Again, by killing, murdering, causing fear and disorganization and, basically bullying society in a sense. This is what you're going to believe. If you don't believe it, we're off with your head. That's how it works.
RJ is bullying me, y'all. He is in here bullying me. I officially said RJ is the bully. because he wants me to believe what he wants me to believe. And I don't want to, RJ. It's like, nah. He's bullying me too. She's a little bully. He the big bully. I'm being bullied in here, y'all. Just messing. But I had to say that. That was funny. But no, that goes back to this whole being fooled, though. Okay, so you just hit it on the head, RJ. This is not rocket science. This is what I'm saying. We got to make this stuff so easy that the baby can understand it. If they believe that what they're doing, just off that quote, is not good or evil, therefore, if I'm killing people, it's not bad that I'm killing them. I'm killing them because I really believe they're evil. I believe that they're evil, but what I'm doing, it's not evil. I'm doing it just for mankind and humanity and in the name of my family.
If we kill 50 million people in order to sustain the earth for the next 50, 60 years, it's worth it. That's their point of view.
So they're looking at it's too many people on earth, so we're killing all the resources. So they need to get rid of all the people. And
they worship nature, so they'll choose to let nature to do so, to eliminate the massive group of people, like a big virus or some shit.
Yeah, but we talking about belief, though. This is what I'm trying to get at. We're sitting here talking about belief and the power of belief. Don't we sit here and all this time we've been talking about themselves and believe in their inner self and believe in chakras and all this stuff, right? We know the power of belief. If I believe something, what is it going to do? It's my thought. It's going to manifest itself because I do what? I believe it. So how we can't get upset at them for believing what they believe, because obviously they literally have their power because of what? What they're believing. Like, they in their head seriously believe this stuff is right. Like, they seriously, wholeheartedly believe in religion. They believe in a system. They believe in what they're doing.
Donald Trump, he's a Catholic. I'm not saying every individual who you know, accept that religion is a bad person. I'm not going to say that, no. But I know that there are individuals who, you know, are in some other stuff. Why do you think they touching them little boys up in the Vatican? You know what I'm saying? They believe in homosexuality. Back in the day, in those times, like, they practiced all that. Cross-dressing, homosexuality, some of everything. They practiced all that. They was cool with that. That's how they celebrated. And then you had the group of Puritans who didn't believe in that. And it was a big back and forth going between the Christian community, quote-unquote, and, you know, the ones, the pagans. You know what I'm saying? That's where the whole Council of Nicaea came in. Also the Jewish community as well. That's where the Council of Nicaea and then came into play, and that's when Constantine, you know, they couldn't agree on the fact of with Easter. I'm not going to talk about Easter that much, but they couldn't agree on something about the Passover, right? Yeah, the Passover, and then he was like, you know what, Constantine declared that they have nothing in common with each other, so they separated themselves from the Jews. You go your way, I go my way. We're not the one and the same. You know what I'm saying? And that's how
we had Passover and Easter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, because they didn't accept, you know.
Okay, too much. This is what I'm saying. This is just too much. But it goes back to what they believe, though. Like, everything you're saying still goes back to that mind. Because they believe, so it's going to be very difficult. Like, we're going to seriously have to come together as one. One body, one mind as Christ. The only way we're going to defeat that evilness. Because in their head, the Freemasons, their little cult, they all believe one thing. Like, they don't. You can't even get in the cult and you believe something different. I'm just going to keep them 100. They have mastered the art of believing what they believe. They on the outside can come into their little ritual when they're holding hands and chanting and doing whatever sacrifice they got going on. You have to all be one mind. Like, they talk. If you really start reading about the cults and about the Freemasons, like, it's all about the mind to them. So they all believe the same thing. But our problem, as the people underneath, we have been so suppressed that for so long that it's hard for us to come together to want to believe one thing. Because at one point, we tried to believe in what the same thing they were believing in, but realized that it was deception and we were being fooled by the. But we started to awaken and realize that they fooled us. It's hard for us to now try to think about ever coming together again to have a one mindset thing, because everybody want to be so individualized. And that's really, I'm telling you, that's going to be the downfall of all broke people, all poor. Like, that class is just going to be obsolete in the room, because it's just not going to exist because of that fear of, well, I can't collaborate, or I can't think or believe the same thing you believe in. I need to believe what I need to believe. I need to be who I am. But they don't think like that, and that's why they're powerful. That's the difference. They don't care.
Like, they probably think we're peasants, insects, like statistics. You know, it's literally, that's what they think of us, as statistics. And, you know, they find us, I guess, very easy to manipulate. And I've seen this in a documentary where they speak on that, you know, where there are some people, like, actually, I have this this guy's name, if y'all can Google, his name is Wilhelm Wundt. He's a German. Wilhelm Wundt. he basically determined that the individual had no soul and can be programmed like a robot, you know. So they kind of look at us like bioengineered robots, you know what I'm saying, for them to use, you know what I'm saying. It's kind of sad, but this is the way it's been for generations and, you know, centuries. But just to keep, you know, the religious aspect for next week so we can cover that topic more, I'm going to transition into music industry, because in today's modern time, these same individuals that we speak of, the elites, et cetera, Illuminati, you know, if you want to get into that, these secret societies, you know, which damn near every politician is a part of, and every last one of them has some type of relationship with them or some relations with those type of belief systems. Yeah, like personally, I feel like, you know, music is one of the biggest tools that they're using nowadays in order to, you know, further implement their agenda, especially if you're talking about hip hop. Personally, I feel like hip hop. Like I love all hip hop, you know what I'm saying? All the way to the trap music, all the way to the lyrical conscious stuff, which I listen to more. You know what I'm saying? All that hype stuff, you know, I tune into that whenever I'm in the mood. You know, but other than that, you know, I like my, you know, my conscious music. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Cole, all them, you know. And there's this guy that was saying that the rap game was manufactured in order to influence the culture, bringing us down to our animalistic nature, you know what I'm saying, which is our lower three chakras. Now I'm kicking some spiritual stuff real quick. I'm going to kick y'all and drop some jewels real quick. Now, we have to understand that, you know, our animalistic nature is mostly influenced by our lower three chakras, our survival instincts, our sexual glands, our sexual instincts, and our adrenal gland, which stimulates our determination, our will to go get it, that spirit of a hustler, you know what I'm saying, to manifest. And the first one, like I said, deals with survival. The root chakra deals with survival. The second chakra deals with your, you know, the sex and creativity, creation. And then the third chakra deals with determination, motivation, or your ego, your identity. You know what I'm saying? And right where sternum is at, there is like a bridge which leads to your heart. This bridge, a lot of people are not capable of, you know, crossing that. Why? Because you have to experience love, you know what I'm saying? Which a lot of people don't get at home or, you know, in general. And that's where you get the butterflies in your stomach. You know, I'm pretty sure we all felt that before with the butterflies in the stomach, and it goes up to your chest. You know what I'm saying? You feel it in your gut. And that right there is that bridge that's being crossed, that spiritual, like, spiritual bridge almost. You know, the energy is rising. The frequency in your body is rising. And it's going to give you a different outlook on life. It's going to, you know, open you up to a whole nother world. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how it works. And music, you know what I'm saying? The music, what, mainly talks about what? Money, sex, hoes, clothes, drugs, and all this good stuff. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that is influenced by these three lower chakras. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the Illuminati and all them, they use symbolism. They're big in symbolism. They understand mind, body, and spirit. And if you understand that, then you are more than capable of manipulating it any way you want to. And, you know, vibrations. They understand vibration. They understand sound. They understand that sound stimulates your whole entire brain. And they also understand that you know, it's a form of peer pressure. You know, we copy and paste. You know, when I was 16, I'm listening to Gucci. You know what I'm saying? I feel like trapping. You know, I felt like, you know, going out there and, like, you know, making a little bit of money. But yeah, like, I feel like the music industry, they definitely took advantage of that. And yeah.
Well, they saw the power of us. I believe that soulful music, and I kind of sort of, and you got to think, this goes deeper. There has been sayings that back in the African culture that they believe that the earth and the universe was created through song. So there are drawings that make them believe that, because they do have drawings of like dancing. I guess like angels must have been like dancing and singing. And they felt like the vibration, like what we're saying. They understood that sound travels faster than light. So sound is what created, in which is words. And scripture says that. Like the Bible tells us that he spoke. It didn't say he physically did nothing. It don't say he took his hand or God did this or that. It says that God spoke, you know, or in words. And we know words have vibration and power and sound. It all goes back to sound. Universe means one song. So they, back in the day, Africans believed that the universe was created by singing one song. That's what they believe. That's why, that's where the name universe even comes from. So they believe this stuff. And you have the Europeans come and they see, you got like back then they worship and dance, and look at all of the chants and Africans, they're always dancing, right? Always got rhythm. That's one thing about Africans. They, some about their rhythm, like their whole body, like they use every part of their being when they dance. Like they just be on it, right? So they seen this. They see it, they admire it, right? If you guys haven't watched the movie Trolls, I'm going to advise everybody to watch. Here go another free. Somebody find Disney and tell them that they need to DreamWorks need to contact me. I'm giving out free promos. But Trolls, though, is a good movie. It's a cartoon, but it's a really good movie about what I'm saying. The trolls were colorful things. They had nappy, long hair. Their hair was powerful. The hair would grow and extend, and they had like some trolls with dreadlocks, and it was the power was in the hair, more so than anything, and also the power was also in what their song. They were always happy, hugging, loving people. They were always the colors and their vibrations, and they were very colorful, which has a lot to do with the universe and the chakras, right? So they were. You have to see the movie to see what I'm saying. But then there was these grumpy people that had no happiness. So the only way they felt like they could be happy was to eat a troll, because the trolls had that happiness. Okay, well, they eat us. They take our... Okay, anyway. So so if you look at the troll movie, you have to see it from my eyes. I mean, I know it's a good movie. My kids love it, but it's deep. That movie is deep. Do you hear me? And then, yeah, the little troll dolls. And then they had this one grumpy one. He lost his color. He lost his color because they have one grumpy troll, right? He lost his color because he was singing, and his voice was so angelic. It's the character that's actually Justin Timberlake. So Justin Timberlake is the one in Trolls that's singing, right? And, you know, Justin got a soulful voice. I keep saying he got to have some African in him. Ain't no way that he all Caucasian. Ain't no way. So he's the one that's acting as this troll, right? I know I'm going off, but it has a lot to do with he's saying, because Trolls is music. The whole movie, they're singing. So Justin, everybody was trying to figure out, well, why is this troll so grumpy? Then he explains it. He was singing. His voice was so beautiful that he didn't even hear his grandmother was trying to warn him that when a grouch people was trying to come get and kill, like eat him, was right behind him. But he was singing and so blissful and in it. And like his voice was so beautiful, he didn't even pay attention to her. And then she screamed and tried to knock him over, and they ended up eating her. So he lost his color. He lost his voice. He lost his sound. He lost all his colors, all his chakras because of that one thing. Love, like he lost it, like he lost love. So it goes back to what RJ is saying, as far as he stopped singing, he got dark, all his color was gone. Like he wasn't even, he looked like them, like the grouches. He looked like the evil people. He didn't even look like a troll no more. Everything about the trolls he hated. He kept telling them, stop singing so loud, stop doing that, because he was trying to warn them that the reason why they keep coming after us is because we're too happy. Like, why y'all always loud? Like, you have to watch it to see the subliminal messages in it. Like, it's deep. It is so daggone deep. It's crazy. They even have one troll that's in the movie. As soon as it come on, guess what he was doing? Yoga. I'm not making this up. Like, y'all got to see it. The dude was floating up in the air in his little yin. And he was actually the one they tried to use to manipulate, and actually he used him to try to catch the trolls and kill the trolls. They used him because they saw his power. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you have to see the troll. I know it's crazy, but it has to do with music. It has to do with the music, the vibration, because that's what the story was about. That all they liked to do was sing, and their power was in their hair and in their music, and their happiness came from singing all the time. So it goes back to what we're saying as far as music was manipulated for that reason. I mean, blues and R&B and all that stuff, soulful music came out before rap. Rap came out after. So they saw the power that we had in gospel music when we were singing. When we took their religion and took it to a whole other level. The whole Baptist churches, like the Baptist churches are so different from a Pentecostal church. or the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is just like like marching, right? Then you get into a Baptist church and it's like hallelujah, praise God, and chanting and talking in tongues, and it's just the energy. It takes you to a whole other atmosphere, regardless of if it's good or bad. They taking you to another dimension up in the church. I'm just gonna keep it 100. You have a whole other experience in a church when you're dealing with black folk up there singing and they anointed, they using their gift. So, and it happens when the music come on. You don't really see miracles happen in the church when there's no music. What happens every time the pastor starts feeling it? The organ starts playing. The drummers start beating. Then the pastor all of a sudden feels it, right? And then everybody starts shouting. That fast music. When is it? It's like I feel it right now just talking about it. Like I'm not trying. I just say it. Like it's just like I just feel it. Like I've been visually. I just really just like felt like I teleported myself to a church. But I just felt like I was in the middle of a church just now. Like that's just what I hear. Like I just hear it in my head. And that's what happens. Like you feel it in your feet. You feel it in your bones. So people that's probably still hearing this that knows me, they know that I always used to say when I used to be in church all the time, I used to be like, I feel it in my feet. I feel it in my feet. I feel it in my legs. And this lady named Miss Yancey picks on me because every spirit starts taking over people. She think of me and she go, ask me, remember when you say you feel it in your legs? So it's like a little joke. But that's really where you feel it. You feel it in your legs. You feel it in your feet, right? And it just rises up. I don't feel the spirit in my head first. It rises up. It always do. Like, I feel it in my feet, and I just rise it up. Like, I don't know. Then it's just like your chest start beating. You start sweating. It's just, and then next thing you know, by the time it gets to your head, what do? You pass out. Because you done took, the energy done went too far up, and it just drains you, and you just knocked out, right? So this has to do with chakras, and we don't even know this, and they don't teach us in churches why we're doing that. But it looks crazy from the outside looking in, because you're like, why are you like that? But now that we're ourselves, I'm tying it together. It makes sense why they do that. So I'm all with RJ with that. I said all that to say I'm all with him when it comes to music. Music was manipulated because of the power of music. I do believe that the world was created off of song, words, vibration, sound. That's what I feel like the whole universe was made off. The whole galaxy, all creation was made off of that. If you have a flower, and y'all can do this experiment because I did this when I was in third grade. We had a flower that we used to play music for. That flower bloomed faster than a flower where we just left kind of sort of to the side. Like, it had some sunlight, but it was mostly always in the dark. But then we had this other flower where we would play like low vibration, like that yoga music, meditation music. And the flower blossomed and groomed. It was green. It was beautiful, right? So I'm all for it. I'm with him on that.
Yeah, definitely. Be honest with you, I think one of the biggest fears of the white supremacists, and I'm speaking specifically of those who believe that they're superior because of their, you know, whatever position they're in this world, they're afraid because they understand melanin. They understand the power of melanin and how it affects the individual who has an abundance of it, you know, internally and externally, of course. It's a very spiritual context to it. You know, melanin is based off carbon. You can find carbon in every single life form on this world. Melanin affects your nervous system, you know. So yeah, like, you know, they understand is that the melanated being is most powerful when they're spiritually in tune, and that's when they become a threat. So they try to create the system or build a system that will take that away from them, which jail and all these other systems that they created. Oh, being creative.
Wait,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
yeah.
There. Uh-huh. Right there. Stop right there. Stop right there. Just pause. Break. We have given our power away for too long, like I said the last one. And when you just said the systems, religion is one of those systems that was created to give our power away. If you really sit and think about scripture and think about the Baptist church for a second and how many power away to Jesus Christ, and not ourselves, as to why things are not operating or moving. Everything a black Christian does, I can conquer all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everything is given to Jesus Christ, as that person, even though he was melanated, that was able to just do stuff. We never look at it like we have that inner power. We never look at, if you're saying, like the Holy Ghost, and you shouldn't be just saying giving it to his name. It should be that's you, because if he in you,
wow,
it's me. It's me that's doing this. He just, it's just that the power and the knowledge of me educating myself on what he did and studying his teachings and following his word and listening to his being by example, I'm going to do the same thing he was able to do, because he, I'm following what he's saying, and I have the same source of power he had. Jesus was not, when he was talking about himself and doing these miracles, he didn't say it was myself. He always said it was to God, Father. He, even him at that time was not saying, oh, this stuff is just because I did it. He didn't even have that much ego. So whatever power that he had in him to manifest this stuff is the same power we should have inside of us to manifest the same thing. Even if it wasn't physically he walked on water and it was just metaphorically speaking, I feel like it was him tapping into another dimension that he was able to float like that. It was that he was saying that I had an out-of-body experience. And when you astral plane yourself and you laying flat, you're floating. You're outside yourself. So I look at that whole walking on water symbol as looking at him not being here in the third dimension, maybe a fourth, fifth, or maybe sixth dimension, right? So if he had that power, and he always said that the power didn't come from me, it comes from my Father, then why are we always giving the power to that person that's not even here no more? So therefore, we have diminished our power. Like you said, we have given it away because of a system, and they knew that. That's why they created Christianity, because that's the only way our power can be limited. They say, I can only do things through Christ who strengthens me. I can only make it because of Jesus Christ, but what, or the Holy Spirit. But what about your own spirit?
Right. What about your own spirit? Basically, I mean, the way I see it, you know, there is this term called Christ consciousness, where, like you expressed, you said, through Christ, you can't, oh, how you say it one time?
I can do all things through Christ.
Gotcha. Who strengthens me. Which, you know, I mean, you have the right. The way I see it, once.
That's not a good right to believe.
Let me explain. The spirit, well, I feel like that's when you become spiritually, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To me, when you're, I guess, get in tune with the Son spirit, or what they would consider Christ, that's when the individual becomes spiritually aware. Once you become spiritually aware, now you're working with the Father. Now you're working with what we call God. So in a sense, you embody what you call Christ, and it, which allows you to become spiritually aware, which I feel like is another way to look at it. You know what I'm saying?
But nobody's doing that in the church.
Nobody's doing that in the church. They rather worship. They rather and worship this man and then the Father, whatever the case may be.
Yes. Because it says you can only get to God. It says you only can get to God. You can only get to the Father through me. So therefore, I can't even talk to God or have that connection if I don't go through a person. That's a problem in itself. That whole system of how they did the trilogy is a problem. Number one, the trilogy off anyway, because you made it was a male figure and you forgot the woman. That's number one. And the son should be an issue, because then you're trying to say that the only way you have a holy family is if you got a Father, a boy child, and then the Holy Ghost. But that's supposed to be the mother. So where's the? It should be the Father, mother, and child, not son. That's a whole nother issue. So the whole thing is an issue, is what I'm saying. It's like really no way to kind of make it a good thing, because that whole system is a problem. Because you're saying the only way I can talk to God, the only way I'm gonna get connected to God, the only way a miracle gonna happen is if I go through somebody else. That's a problem, because if we were all created from God itself, then I shouldn't have to go through you or Jesus Christ or anybody else, Muhammad, Allah, Buddha, don't matter. I shouldn't have to go through nobody if I want to get to the creator, because that's who created me. Jesus didn't create me. You see what I'm saying? So that's where the problem is, because they have come to think, instead of looking at Jesus as an example, that's what I'm saying. Jesus was an example. Did Jesus believe anybody else created him but God? Look at his story. You have to look deep. Jesus believed who created him? God. He didn't even look at his own father that was married to Mary. He didn't even look at that. He never even acknowledged the human person. He always, I'm a virgin birth. I come from God. God's my father. God's my creator. I said we look at Jesus as an example. Not, we should look at Jesus, not to Jesus. There's a difference. Like, we shouldn't be looking to Jesus for all our answers. We should be looking at Jesus as an example of how we should live and how we should acknowledge God, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't look at humans. He never even gave acknowledgement to his own damn mother who was here. Like, I'm being honest. Like, he never even say, well, let me praise and worship my own birth mother that pushed me out on this earth. No, it was always from God, period. There was no other way around that. Like, he didn't even negotiate anything else. So us as human beings, we shouldn't look at it like, well, Jesus is in us. That's another problem. You should look at it as Jesus was an example of how we should live.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I definitely see what you're saying. I mean, but then again, like, I mean, like I said, if you go into that topic, you're still talking astrology as well. You know, you're still talking about the sun's energy, which does correlate with the solar plexus, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Then also got this another thing with crystals oil and how we have crystals oil in our brain, which goes down our cerebrum clausum and causes, you know, a chemical reaction, turning lead into gold, which generates mercury, and that's what they call the Kundalini experience. You know what I'm saying? You can get real deep in this. You know what I'm saying? This is going to alchemy now. And alchemy was something that was practiced and studied back then too. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I have to leave this religious topic for next Sunday because it can get real deep. You know what I'm saying? Every culture has some person that was born on December 25th and has, you know, three kings bringing them gifts and died on this day. Like, a lot of cultures have, you know, the same story going on in their, you know, region, whatever. Their sun god, the light, you know, the god that brings light, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I'm not going to speak on that. I ain't going to get too deep on that. But, yeah, back to, you know, also we have to understand is that you have to understand color spectrum. You know what I'm saying? When the sunlight hits rain, or when it gets done raining and we see a rainbow, right? We see like humidity in the sky, you know, precipitation, whatnot. And when the sun hits that, the water that's in the air, it creates a rainbow, the color spectrum. You got red, you got orange, you got yellow, you got green, you got blue, indigo, and purple. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, melanin. Y'all, like, our skin consumes the melanin, retains that information. It retains that information, and it solidifies in our physical being, which creates melanin. So the color spectrum, you know what I'm saying? The color spectrum is melanin solidified. The color spectrum solidified is melanin. And this is retained, which gives y'all an intimate connection to the earth, the universe, and everything in creation, being that, you know, it is carbon, you know, and carbon can be found in everything, you know what I'm saying, every life form on this earth. And this affects your nervous system, this affects your perception, your spiritual attunement with this earth, et cetera, et cetera. Reason why when you listen to the music, the music is like neo soul and reggae and all that good stuff. It's the reason why it sounds the way it sounds. You can't duplicate it. The white culture or the Caucasian culture would have never been able to duplicate that. But then again, you know, they have their good music, you know what I'm saying, from those individuals. But then again, who y'all think created horror movies? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, who created horror movies? You know what I'm saying? Like, that genre, I damn sure don't think was created by, you know, melanated folks. You know what I'm saying? So the lack of melanin in certain individuals does make them spiritually weaker. It makes them, they can be very intelligent, but they will lack that common sense. They will lack that connectivity to the earth, which where atheism comes from, Scientologists come from. They don't believe nothing beyond what they can experience. You know what I'm saying? So that's why there's sort of oblivious towards it, and they understand that some of them understand this, they accept it, they don't give a fuck. They're highly intelligent, they got everything they want, they don't give a fuck, but they understand this about the melanated people on this earth. That's why they try to create every little system, any mind control tactics or system that they can create in order to you know, keep them from tuning in spiritually on that level where they start, you know, thinking for themselves, depending on themselves, teaching each other, becoming organized, and, you know, aware of the truth and how things played out, you know what I'm saying? So things can continue to go in their favor. That's what they want. They want everything to go in their favor, you know what I'm saying? That's why they created ghettos and isolated everybody in a specific area in the city, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's why they put these systems of control in place. And this is a process of indoctrination, you know, education system, prison system, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, y'all, I didn't get the mic today. I ain't playing. But look, I don't have much to say. RJ and Ashley K already really summed everything up. But I'm just going to throw that out there. I know y'all follow Ashley K at on social media. Y'all follow RJ. Y'all can go ahead and follow me at King Kwan. And I know RJ touched on the chakras. So if y'all want to know me up on social media, I have a little intro book to that. But I'm going to go ahead and let Ashley K wrap it up for you.
Yes, yes. So we, you know, like we said, we're going to have a part two to this. You know, we're going to definitely elaborate further on don't be fooled, because there's a lot of stuff that we're being fooled about, you know what I'm saying? And even though we have been hitting on some of these topics throughout our other episodes that we have completed so far, it's like, you know, we do want more engagement. Like, we do want more people to kind of like tap in and be like, hey, like, if you listening to this and you feel like you want to follow us on Base Vibration Network on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, definitely hit us up to let us know, like, you know, if you want to give your two cents on it, or if you felt like this too and you just wanted to express yourself on it as well, like, feel free. Like, this is open topic, you know what I'm saying? Even though we're taking the time out to educate everybody every week on it, we definitely, you know, want some more input as far as how others are feeling as well, because I know for a fact we cannot be the only three people that feel like this stuff and feel like this exposure is happening, and put it all together, because it's not just one thing that we have to target. It's all of this stuff together that we're going to have to change our mindset, and it's going to take a lot, and it's going to be very detrimental for a lot of people. It, you know, even with religion, for me, it took me a long time. It took me at least 5 years to honestly even accept what I was being taught was wrong. Like, it took a while. It didn't just happen overnight, you know, for me. So I know if it didn't happen overnight for me, it's going to not happen overnight for a lot of people, you know. So we definitely want you to listen to what we're saying, but also go out and research what we're saying too, because what we're saying, we're researching. Every week we're researching before we get on the show as far as different topics, you know. So if it's something that we didn't touch on that goes with what these topics are, reach out and let us know. Like, hey, you didn't touch on that, but that had to go with it, especially with us having a part two with this, the Don't Be Fooled. You know, we can see the stats. We see y'all listening to the recording. We see y'all peeping with y'all peeping, you know. But anyway, y'all not saying that. I'm just messing. I'd be funny with that. But we see y'all out there just ain't saying nothing. So we want y'all to speak up and speak out, you know, and tune in next week. Don't Be Fooled, part two. Let us know what you think we should tap on. But other than that, we're going to let it go. This show kind of went a little over. RJ looked like he drained, like he done gave it all out today, right? we will hopefully, so I give it to like around the summer, in the summer, hopefully we'll be definitely able to film live. I hope before then. I really do want us to start filming live so you can start seeing our interactions and really feel what we say so we can start putting on a YouTube channel. So with that being said, we're going to, you know, give you all the peace and blessings for a great week, for a prosperous week, and a lot of knowledge and wisdom being given to you this week. So with that being said, as we always say, be more.